Good morning, everyone. How are we? Nice chilly morning. Now, before we start, if you've come this morning expecting Malcolm Bottrell, there's been a last-minute change of plans. And Malcolm had written something in anticipation of this morning on the front of the grapevine. But Malcolm's come down with COVID. So ironic, isn't it? And if you've read the grapevine already, he is to be our supply minister for the next little while, the next couple of months at least. So, you know, in our prayers this morning, we can pray for Malcolm and his speedy recovery. So I'll just let you know about that from the outset. And Ian has stepped in at short notice and will be bringing the message to us this morning. You'll recall Jesus said, a new commandment I bring to you, that you love one another. He also said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anybody read anything of Henri Nouwen? Know the name? Maybe, maybe not. He says that in regards to obedience and obeying, he says that the origin of the word obedience comes from the Latin word ob or dire, which means to listen with great attentiveness. If you cast your mind back to last week, you remember the reading from 1 Samuel, where Samuel had that little encounter with the priest Eli in the temple. And Samuel first thought it was Eli calling him, turned out to be God. And Eli, in his wisdom, said, if he calls you again, say, yes, Lord, I am listening. So that's kind of a little introduction to a new song we would like to teach you this morning that has its origins in that reading from 1 Samuel and Samuel's response to God. And it's a response that we can make to God in relation to our journey with God. So we'll sing the chorus twice. It starts with the chorus, so you can pick up the chorus and then pick up the verses as we go along. It's only three verses.
Here am I.
Lord God, we praise you and thank you that we can meet together in this way. And Lord, we pray this morning that we might be open to you, Lord, and what you're wanting to say to us. Lord, today and every day, help us to be a people who come to you with open eyes and open ears and open hearts to know you and all that you're wanting to do in our lives. And we give you praise and we give you thanks. Amen. Would you like to stand as we sing the next one? God, we praise you for your greatness. You are the name above all names. Emmanuel, our Saviour, our Lord, our King, and our friend. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for the hope that you have brought to us, the life that you brought to us, and the capacity to serve you, though we don't do that well at times. But we pray, Lord, that we will always seek to serve you, to love you, to look to you as we live our lives for you. And for all these things, we give you praise and thanks, our Lord and God. Amen. Now, just a little bit about notices, the everything you need to know really is in the grapevine. But I will just mention that the dinner group is meeting this the 19th of June, Wednesday, isn't it? And if you're interested in going to that on Wednesday evening, you can have a chat with Neville. So Neville, you want to? That's Neville sitting up the back. If you don't know Neville, if you want to go out for dinner on Thursday night, great conversation, great food, the chance to get out and socialise. And meet people you may have seen and maybe never spoken to. There you go. And I think that's all I will highlight. Apart from, you know, we are continuing on the Church Council to look for a new minister for the Vines. We're not sure how long that journey is going to take, but as I mentioned this morning, Malcolm Bottrell has agreed to be our supply minister for a while, which is really good. So we keep trusting that the Lord will provide someone for us in due course. We're going to bring our offerings to the Lord now. And as has been said before, the offering time is not just a time about our resources, which it is that, but it's also a time of offering ourselves to God. So just stay seated. Although, if you want to stand as soon as we start singing, please do, but you can remain seated for a little while.
Oh.
Father, we praise you and thank you that you are a God who gives and gives in abundance. We praise you, Lord, for the life you have given us and for all the blessings that we have received at your hands. And so we offer back to you now, Lord, the gifts that Elaine is holding, the funds that have been given online, and pray, Lord, that you would guide us as a congregation as to how we best use our resources. And we offer ourselves as well, Lord, to you and pray that you would use us day by day as we seek to serve you. We give you praise and thanks, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take your seats.
Good morning, everyone. The first of two readings is from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48. The Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The second reading is from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. And I think you'll know this one almost off by heart. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord."
So, are you all ready to be keeping alert and paying attention? So, yeah, maybe next week you'll hear about the 10 bridesmaids. But meanwhile, while you've got me, I'm going to talk about the power of love. And meantime, I hope you'll also stay alert. So, let me first begin with a prayer. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and our minds, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear your word for us today. Amen. Has anyone had an addition to their family lately? Not a child, I don't think, looking around at the ages of us here, but maybe a grandchild or a great-grandchild? I see those hands, as they say. It's quite interesting and quite incredible, really, isn't it? We're nearly all delighted when a baby arrives safely and mother and bub are doing well, and or in the case of our daughter 12 years ago when she had her twins. Not just one, but two bubs. And it's just as well they were cute when they were young, because sometimes it was a bit of hard work. Because everyone's had a mother, or has a mother, we can relate to birth and motherhood as an example or a symbol of love. Because it's kind of universal, isn't it? You don't get here without being born from a mother. And it's meant to be understood that way. But like the love and the joy that you can see on the mother and daughter there, or the grandmother and the mother, depending which generations you want to think of them as, even if they're hiding behind their sunglasses, they still look pretty happy, don't they? And occasionally, of course, there is tragedy and disappointment when a mother has to bury her child, or whether her child, that the pregnancy doesn't proceed for some reason. And that's pretty sad. And so whether it's miscarriage, stillbirth, or the consequences of accident or disease or trauma of some kind. And so we think particularly, as we think about the value and the benefit and the love that mothers have, just think of the mothers who are grieving the loss of their child still. Sometimes it's a very long time ago. And yet the pain of it is still something that hurts immensely. And just think how painful it must have been for Mary to watch the son that she loved die on the cross at Calvary. So why is it, do you think, why is it that a mother's love is so intense, and a father's love, for that matter, in the best of things? What's it all about, Alfie? Is it really true that what the world needs now is love, sweet love, as the old song says? And as we heard in today's first Bible reading, that's the culmination of a somewhat longer story beginning at verse 1 of Acts chapter 10. And the backstory is that as a result of a rather dramatic and confrontational dream about clean and unclean food, the Apostle Peter travelled the two-day journey, about 50 kilometres, from Joppa to Caesarea, to the home of the God-fearing centurion named Cornelius. He was not a Jew, so he was a Gentile. And Cornelius had also had a dream in which he was instructed to send for Peter. And in spite of the good rule, well, the rule that good Jews didn't consort with Gentiles, Peter went. And when he arrived, he began preaching the good news about Jesus to Cornelius and his household. And in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Spirit was poured out on him, on the listeners. And so Peter ordered them to be baptized with water in the name of Jesus Christ. Nothing to stop them, so they did. And so what's the lesson from this? Am I expecting the Holy Spirit to suddenly interrupt this sermon? Maybe. Hopefully it'll impact you somehow. It will. But in simple terms, the lesson from Acts 10 is this, that God keeps surprising us with his grace, with God's grace, and that the power of God's love cannot be constrained by our human rules, and that no change that we face is as life-changing as that of discovering that we are loved by God. Someone said recently that the church is a tsunami of change. Our structure, our worship, the ways we communicate, our place in society, our expectations of membership, the kinds of people who are drawn to our ministry and mission, the places where the gospel needs to be lived. It's enough to overwhelm us, like an avalanche on a high mountain or in the highlands of Papua New Guinea, as happened last month. And this isn't taking account of the effects COVID continues to have on our churches, even this one today. It's enough to wear us out, especially if we feel responsible to understand and control and to usher in those changes that are necessary. But a guy called Pendleton Peary, nice alliterative name, says, "Here's the gift, that our responsibility is not to understand or to predict or to control that future. The gift is that the Spirit of God is always going ahead of the church, as it always has been, creating, agitating, opening new space, inviting our responsibility. Because our responsibility is to offer that expression of the church a hopeful welcome. And this hopeful welcome is a universal one. The scholar called Bill Loder points out that behind this passage, Acts 10:40-48, is not only the celebration that Gentiles equally matter to God, but the deeper reality that in the name of this God, no discrimination against other human beings based on race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, age, or sinfulness has a place." That's a pretty challenging call, isn't it? No discrimination against other human beings based on race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, age, or sinfulness has a place. You know, we find it easy to accept people who are just like us. But for those who are different, for whatever reason, they're much more difficult for us to accept. Unless you're still a kid and you don't care whether you've got black hair, you're a blonde, and there's two redheads there too. Don't care what colour hair you got. Or, you know, those children playing happily at Easter, they were just having fun together. Or if you happen to be of Asian appearance, like the two Vietnamese refugee kids happily playing with the blonde Aussie girl. Sadly, many of us are like Peter, who didn't want to eat with the unclean foods. And so we want to judge those who are different, look down on them, correct them, make them fit into our understanding of what's right and wrong. And so when God says, don't discriminate, how do we cope? We cope only because of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. The power of God's love is that the Holy Spirit does go before us, as it went before Peter, preparing the way for the dramatic change of making the good news of Jesus available to all people, not just to the Jews. Or at least it's made available to all those who are able to hear his message. And what is that message? It's this, that God loves us in Jesus Christ and has commanded us to love one another as he loves us. That is, sacrificially and fruitfully. That's what those verses say in John 15. But this call to love is not a precondition for God to love us, but it's a response to that love. We are the ones that Jesus loves. Each of us, all of us. We are the ones that Jesus loves. The writer Philip Yancey asks, what would it mean if I came to the place where I saw my primary identity in life as the one that Jesus loves? How differently would I view myself at the end of the day? Sociologists have a theory of the looking glass self. That is, You become what the most important person in your life, and Yancey said, wife, father, boss, but maybe we could say partner, parent, boss these days. You know, what do those important people think we are? That's who we become. And how would my life change? How would our lives change if we truly believe the Bible's astounding words that God loves me? If we look in the mirror and we see what God sees. It's sad that so many people have been told by an abusive significant other that they're useless. And they come to believe that. And that's wrong. We need to, all of us, not just those who are hurting, come to understand and accept that Jesus loves me, that God loves me. The New Testament Greek scholars tell us that the command to love one another is in present continuous tense. That is, it's really, in John 15 should say, keep on loving one another or continue to love one another. It's not a command about, a continuous way of life rather than something that you do occasionally in a disconnected way. You love in this time and you love later there and then you love somewhere. It's we are to love continuously. The extent of this love is seen in verse 13 of John 15. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You know, we reflect upon the sacrifice of Jesus on Good Friday, and rightly so. But we should also remember the sacrifices of the women and men who served as members of the armed forces and their families on Anzac Day and Remembrance Day. But we also need to remember that we are to love one another in this same sacrificial way. In the old musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, the performance ends with Jesus on the cross. But we need to remember that that's not the end of the story. Jesus' resurrection is an essential part of God's love for us. It's a love that continues through us as we love one another, as we love our neighbour as ourselves. So laying down one's life for one's friends, it's a high price to pay. And Jesus doesn't pretend otherwise. But the implication is that it's worth every cent, or whatever coin you want to use. In John 15, Jesus goes on to call us his friends in the next verses 14 and 15. And as friends, we have a very different level of relationship with him and with each other. As the Beatles, Lennon and McCartney said nearly 60 years ago now, I get by with a little help from my friends. And how true is that? Because without friends, life is usually very awfully lonely. It's very unfulfilling for us. There's another song about friends with words like this. Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Walk beside me and be my friend. The words of Albert Camus. As we walk together with Jesus through life as friends, life is much more complete for us, especially when our friends journey with us through the rocky parts of our life. And if we think about the extended popularity of the old television series called Friends, It was the way that those actors, people, related to one another that drew people to watch, because they didn't have to solve crimes. It's not like Midsummer Murders or anything. They didn't have to do dramatic things like in Superman or Batman movies. As friends, they were just friendly. And so in our Christian journey, we have a responsibility to love one another and to be spiritually fruitful, always remembering that our fruit is not our doing, but the result of the Holy Spirit at work within us, through us. And I look back and think of some of the people that I am confident to call my friends. They've laughed, cried with me. We've gone on adventures together. We've explored faith together. On Thursday, I went to a funeral of one of those friends. He was 90, but we've known him since, for 40-something years. And he was just a very gentle guy. He was another minister. And up there also, one of the other people there was my young friend Trev. Now, Trev, he was even older. He was 91. But he's still walking around, but he's been a friend. And we keep checking up on each other. Even though they are of mature age, they care. But especially today, when I think of friends, I want to think of the love and friendship of my wife, Karen, over what's now just 52 years and a bit of our marriage. I'm grateful for that. That's all photos of the same person, by the way, in case you can't tell. All of those blessings, all of those signs of God's love for me are examples of that great love, and how great that love is, of the love that is seen in Jesus. Now, life sometimes is joyful, sometimes being painful, but always, whether we know it or knew it, it's been a journey that Karen and I have travelled together with Jesus, who loves us. That's the power of a friend, the power of a friend's love, or a wife in this case. And so as we prepare for the next part of this journey that we call life, the challenge for each of us is this. Do we really know how much God loves us? Can we look in the mirror and say, God loves you, or whatever your name is? Can you say that? And how will we demonstrate our love for one another? What can we do for others that helps them to see that we love them, we care for them, and we know that they'll appreciate something? And would it make any difference to us if each of us truly accepted that we really are the one that Jesus loves? How would our lives change, and how would that impact other people? And the hard one, perhaps, is can we really accept that God's measure of who is acceptable, that measure may not be the same as the one that we'd like to use? I'll give you just a few seconds to think about that. Think about how you might answer those questions and live them out. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving each one of us. Through the power of your Spirit, help us to believe, accept, and live this out, that we may truly love one another and love our neighbour as ourselves. and welcome the changes that you bring in our lives. Amen. We're going to sing not Jesus Loves Me, which we could have, but A New Commandment. Let us pray. As we offer our prayers to God for ourselves and others, our prayers of intercession, our prayers for those people whom God calls us to love and who Jesus loves, all of them. So let us pray. Loving God, today we pray especially for people who are not like us. The people that Jesus commands us to love. Those who live in distant places, perhaps. Those who have a different cultural perspective. Perhaps a different colour skin. Or are of a different gender to ourselves. Or who face a very much more difficult life than we do. Help us to be aware of these different circumstances, yet to not be judgmental. Help us to contribute to their needs with abundant generosity and sincere faith and heartfelt prayer. May we not be complacent and take for granted the blessings that we have already received, especially the blessings of those we love or who love us. And today we also pray for those who are grieving. We remember especially those who feel that deep pain of grief, and we ask that they may be comforted by good friends. May those who grieve remember those who are no longer present, but remembering especially the silenced voices of those who are hidden from our view. The women and children, families that have been affected by domestic violence and abuse. The strangers desperately seeking asylum, crudely detained offshore, being repeatedly rejected by successive governments because their arrival is unauthorised, even when there is no possibility, or has been no possibility, for them to gain the approvals and necessary papers that would legitimise their travel. Oh God, open our eyes, we pray, so we can see truly the ones who are different. And then, Lord, motivate us to act with the compassion and the love of Jesus, to support them with our friendship and love. So keep us from ignorance. Keep us from being overwhelmed by compassion fatigue. Keep before us the Christian hope we find in the great love of God as revealed in the Son of God, who is Jesus. May we rejoice in our memories. May we give thanks for the shared relationships with others which have enriched us. And may we all claim the peace and love of Jesus that sustains us day by day. And God of mercy, we pray today for people who feel anxious and fearful about their future because they worry about having enough money and resources and energy and time and things to occupy them, or having too many things to occupy them. They don't know how to make appropriate choices. We think of the people we know whose bodies are tired and weary. Those who are recovering from COVID, like Malcolm, others we know. Or perhaps they're recovering from cancer or continuing to go through that disease or other serious illnesses. For many of us have weary and worn out bodies. And others, we're facing the end stages of our earthly lives. Be with them and bless them, we pray. Pour out your spirit and your love upon them and upon all the world so that life may become joyful once again and that we and they can courageously face the future with hope. We continue to pray for leaders of our governments and churches at national, state and local levels, that they may make wise decisions that really are fair for all people, including the different ones and the differently able ones. May our leaders, both secular and sacred, work together to make decisions that help build and model a society that is just, that is compassionate for those who struggle, and that helps make a world that responds to hopelessness with great wisdom and vision. We also think of our own concerns. Yes, our needs are different from some others, but in obedience to your call to pray without ceasing and to love one another as God loves each of us, knowing that whatever we ask according to your will, it will be done by the power of your love and through the Holy Spirit equipping us to use all our God-given resources for God's purposes. And so in silence, we bring to you our deep concerns for all the people whom God loves, especially those we are close to, and our concerns for those situations that only God can fix. Gracious God, we ask for you to heal the hurting, to bring peace for the troubled, bring hope for the despairing, comfort for the distressed, reassurance for the anxious and worried, and love for the lonely. For these are our prayers. We ask them in and through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing.
Come to you. provision for you. Do you remember that we sang that last song last week? We did. We did. We finished with it, didn't we?
I think so.
I believe so. And another bit of revision. What was it that Samuel had to respond? What did he have to say? Here I am. Which is one of the little bits of that I still remember from my studies. And he actually said, Hineni. It means, here I am, in the Hebrew. But here I am, and we're about to go, each of us, out into the world to love one another and to love those whom Jesus loves, which is everyone. I encourage you to be good examples of that love, to care and to love the people that we know and the people that we may meet this week. And that, as we go about that process of engaging with others this week, when you look at them, just imagine they are the people whom God loves. Jesus loves me. This I know. And the Bible tells me so. May the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with us all evermore. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit goes with us to love and to care.
Amen. Amen.